Hello. Welcome back to the Glove Podcast. I'm your host, Gabriella Love. We have an amazing, wonderful, intuitive session here today. We've got an amazing guest with us, and right now I'm going to refer to him as the charming artist, and we'll see where that takes us once he introduces himself. But yeah, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for tuning in, and let's get started. Charming artist, please feel free to introduce yourself.
Thank you. That's kind of, maybe it's kind of fitting actually that you're calling me a charming artist, because I actually just got my artwork as a part of the Toronto Visionary Arts exhibition. So that's kind of cool. You know, it's like, okay, so maybe you're calling that spirit of the artist, right?
Yeah. Nice. What is that? Tell me more about this art that you're doing.
Well, the Toronto Visionary Arts exhibit, I know Rahul has been running it in the city. And it's the first time I think he's doing it online, because it's not happening on a physical standpoint right now. But yeah, it's cool because, you know, they have a lot of visionary artists. And for anyone, I guess, who doesn't know what visionary arts, it's pretty much like, you know, there's a big spirited component around it. It's been something that's really inspired people to kind of just create almost... A lot of the work is almost psychedelic in nature, in a sense, you know, a lot of fractals, a lot of colors, a lot of very... you know, you could say like maybe what things have people have seen through their journeys and really which has inspired the work. So the piece that I actually have on the Visionary Arts exhibit is my most recent acrylic art painting that I did. And it was inspired by the teachings of the medicine wheel and the four directions. So the artwork is called Spinning Wheels, and it was just really spent a big part of what's been inspiring me. And also, you know, one of the teachings that I lean on, that I kind of look at as a map, in a sense, of a way of living, of learning kind of the good red road and the walk that the indigenous peoples, you know, would, and the way they held sacred with the land and the people, and, you know, those teachings just really resonate with me. So yeah, that piece was selected to be a part of that exhibit.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. Congratulations. That's so cool. I'd love to hear more about that. But before I do that, I don't want to skip over your introduction. So if you do want to take a moment to introduce yourself, feel free. Otherwise, yeah, please tell me more about that. Why do those specifically those teachings resonate with you? And how do you incorporate that into your daily life?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess a little intro about myself. Currently, right now, I'm practicing as a holistic health practitioner, nutritionist, and I also incorporate a lot of healing arts into my current practice right now. I guess the best way to explain the work that I'm doing, it's kind of like bridging the gap between modern science and ancestral wisdom. You know, it's really honoring the modern times that we're in right now, and using the technologies and the science that we have that help advance, you know, health and well-being, but using really the natural and holistic approach, and in thinking about just the things that we're really grounded and rooted in, that's fundamentally to all humans, right? When it comes to nutrition, mindset, you know, spirituality, and all those components. So I'm actually trained as a holistic nutritionist, holistic lifestyle coach, and I've had experiences before in the past working for like functional medicine clinics and different clinics where, you know, I was really working with, you know, some of the quote unquote worst cases that, a lot of healthcare practitioners have to support with when it comes to, you know, helping clients with things like cancer and chronic digestive issues and autoimmune kind of situations like that. But for me, you know, that the work that I'm doing right now, I kind of look at it as like the healer's path, in a sense, you know, kind of like the wounded healer who pretty much learns to heal themselves through their own trials and tribulations. And I think that's really what's kind of got me to offering the work that I'm doing right now. To kind of go back to it, like I think one of the greatest challenges that I've experienced with from a physical standpoint was when I was a lot younger, kind of going back towards when I was probably around like 18, 17, you know, just feeling a lot of the pressures that we typically feel that our parents and society kind of pushes towards us for following the specific route that we should be living. And I was pretty much unhappy, you know, in college, feeling the pressure that I needed to go to school to find a job that paid well. I was really physically unwell. Like I was actually like 240 pounds, like pretty obese. And I was, you know, drinking lots of alcohol, eating crappy foods, and, you know, really hanging out with poor influence of people at that time. And kind of going with the heaviest of my weight, I kind of had this moment before where I was playing basketball in the gym and literally like 2-3 minutes and playing a pickup game, I literally felt like I was gonna have like a mini heart attack. And that was a big moment for me because I kind of just sat off in the sideline and was just thinking about like, wow, like I can't live like life like this anymore. Like there's no way, like, you know, and I have to make some change. So, you know, through that, I kind of just got super geeky with Google and started researching all different types of diets and really got into, you know, trying different nutrition plans. At the time, there was like low carb and high protein and low, you know, all these different things that I pretty much became a lab rat of my own personal experiences about, and like lost like 80 pounds, became, you know, the fat guy turned skinny in a sense. And, you know, that was a big catalyst to my health journey. But the funny thing is, it's like, you know, when you look at the way the kind of the storyline unfolds, in the very same gym a couple of years later, this is like after I've finally got like the most fittest I was ever in my life, playing basketball again, went up for a layup and got shoved into the wall and had a really bad wrist injury, and it wasn't healing for a couple of years until I ended up getting surgery. But what happened to that point for me was that I was experiencing a lot of things like extreme fatigue. I had widespread body pain. I was getting really depressed. You know, I was tired, had a whole bunch of digestive issues to the point where pretty much I couldn't even work anymore. I was at the time a full-time barber, and I pretty much wasn't making money, trying to spend all my money and trying to find solutions towards like what was going on. And eventually at one point, the doctor diagnosed me with fibromyalgia. I don't know if people know what fibromyalgia is, but it's pretty much a lot of the symptoms I spoke about around having chronic widespread body pain. But really, they look at it as like a mystery disease in a sense. So they kind of just name it that because they can't figure out what the actual cause is for that. And then they tell people that you're probably going to have to live with that for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So I actually accepted that diagnosis as true. And I actually saw myself as the disease. I looked at myself as broken and that I would just have to kind of mitigate the pain I was living with on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like I kind of went through like my dark night of the soul moment where like at the bottom of that situation, after a relationship that ended, and pretty much at that point I was just like bedridden, like extremely depressed, and a point where I was like even suicidal, like really thinking like, was this like life worth living anymore if I was just going to be living in chronic pain? But through that, when I finally like reached out for some support from with a friend, and just, you know, I'm like, dude, like, can you just like anything, like something right now? I know you're into like all this like personal development and positive thinking and stuff. I'm like, can you just hook me up with something? he's like one of those homeboys who was, people thought he was weird in high school because he was that guy who was like in network marketing, but reading like books like Napoleon Hill's like Think and Grow Rich and stuff like that when he was younger. But he passed the book to me, and it just completely shape-shifted and altered like my thinking around what was going on in my life. And it really showed me how to take full responsibility of, you know, the things that were being created in my daily life. And I actually just started feeling better, like all the symptoms just started reducing and pain started to slowly dissipate without me even changing like nutrition, but just strictly working on like my mindset and becoming more aware and self-reflective. And yeah, ever since then, when I started to realize like the power of mind, power of spirit, and realizing that like there was a whole different world of how we can actually heal our bodies through different holistic modalities like nutrition and practices like Qigong and everything like that, and just really being in nature, that just completely shape-shifted my world. And ever since then, once I was able to kind of free myself from all those different challenges and truly healed, I just realized there's so many people that were suffering around me going through similar circumstances and challenges. And I just vowed that I would create a you know, and devote my life and career around being able to support people, you know, who are going through these challenges, and to allow them to get a deeper understanding of their, you know, their chronic health conditions, and to be able to help them restore their health and not just create good health, but also help them with, you know, creating a life that's worth actually like living, you know, and actually using their health for the greater good for themselves and for others. So that kind of comes to like full circle, which I was sharing about like the work I'm doing right now, which is quite integrative and using different modalities with regards to the healing and wellness work.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that was beautiful. What a beautiful testimony. That was really, really cool. And you you told that story in such a way where I felt like I was with you there as the 17, 18-year-old, and then a couple of years later, and the different catalysts in your life that really, you know, created circumstances for you to see new possibilities for yourself. And it sounds like you ran with them. You ran with them, and now here you are doing what I'm sure is amazing supportive work and impacting other lives. That's really, really cool. That was so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome, wow. Sister.
Yeah, that was awesome. Okay, so this wheel that you mentioned, can you tell me more about that? What's that all about?
I kind of look at the medicine wheel, and it's kind of like... it's like a roadmap of a way of living. You know, I feel like in a lot of the indigenous cultures and in the cultures in the past that were very much like earth-based in a sense, you know, that were living one with nature, it was like the roadmap and the guiding light for how they understood life, you know, because it's not like they were living in these tall linear buildings and, you know, and then the current lifestyle we're living right now, like they followed the way where like, hey, the sun rises in this direction, you know, and like on the west, like this is where the sun comes down. And, you know, this is these specific elements are related to each of these directions. So the wheel, in a sense, I look at it as like a roadmap of like how they understood their relationship with nature, and also themselves, and also in how they really live in harmony with one another as well too. And with the medicine wheel, as I go deeper into the teachings and in the general essence of each of the directions and the different elements, it's really related to every aspect of our primal nature. And you know, to study more deeply in towards each of the directions and understanding the wheel, it's quite you know, a self-reflective kind of process to be able to understand like what each of these teachings mean to us and how we can use like the deeper wisdom behind each of those directions in the wheels to be able to help us navigate and make the choices that we need to do to allow us to live more balanced and harmonious lives, right? So that's kind of like short in a nutshell around it. But yeah, that's kind of, I look at like what the wheel means to me and how it's really impacted my life.
Yeah, so cool. Thank you. That was a good view of the medicine wheel. Thank you. A thought came to me while I was listening to you, and basically I was just thinking about, it seems to me that what's often the case in the lives of many, many people is that there are these different moments like the dark night of the soul or different like rock bottoms or, you know, feeling like you sort of have no other option. You have to figure something out. And it's those moments that, you know, when you find yourself in those moments, that's where the sudden like realization or change in perspective happens in such a profound way that now your entire life and direction has changed. And so I guess I'm just wondering, the most common way in which these sort of profound life changes occur for us as humans? Like we have to have these dark night of the soul or these rock bottoms or these moments where we just, you know, we have to find a solution. And then that's when the solution becomes visible to us. Do you think that that's the case, or do you think it's a different process?
You know, I think there's a case for both of the things that you mentioned, which have validity to different paths that one can take. And I think just in general, you know, challenge, stress, and massive challenges in our life are actually, they're not bad things, you know, they're not bad things if we can move through them and actually learn the lessons and, you know, really cultivate greater strength and wisdom through those experiences, right? But yes, for many though, maybe even just for the perspective of what I'm used to seeing on a regular basis when it comes to doing the work that I do, unfortunately, it does come to that place where for many people, they have to learn the quote unquote, like the hard way of having going through a traumatic event or being diagnosed with a chronic disease or something in that shape or form before they actually start making some sort of change. But that's the unfortunate thing as well too, is because I think there is that part where we can learn and we don't have to go through that type of suffering to be able to actually learn the lesson just by actually observing and learning from others, right? Mm-hmm. But I think as our current society right now and the direction that we're kind of moving in right now, you know, like it's the reflection as a whole right now, especially living in these big cities right now, it's like it's common for everyone to be sick, stressed, and unwell, and to be, you know, obese or to be diabetic or, you know, to have a lot of these different symptomatic health issues that seem to be like, hey, you know, like my friend's going through that too. As I guess this is like normal, but you know, like I don't, it doesn't have to be that way, but you know, it does definitely. It is a big blessing for many when they can finally be able to see that, okay, like I finally do have to transform. I definitely have to do something different in my life, because you kind of need that backhand type of situation to like really shake up your life. And for me, like it was definitely, you know, a massive turning point to be able to have that mirror really reflected upon me. Mm-hmm. And for me to actually start questioning myself and really questioning my choices and the direction that I wanted to kind of go towards. But you know, I think on the other side as well too, where we don't have to go through that hard way. Like I felt like if we were connected more towards like the way we used to live as tribes, and having, you know, the guidance of not just being raised by our parents, but through elders and through other, you know, brothers and sisters, and really being raised by a community, you have other people almost like looking out for you. You know, you have other people that are always constantly checking in. You have people that are sharing a lot of the storytellers, and the elders will be teaching some of their hardships and trials and tribulations. And when they can start to recognize that you're out of balance and out of alignment of somewhere in your life, they're able to kind of shine the light and be able to help navigate people through being able to work through these challenges. But for the most case, we don't have that, right? We're like disconnected, we're isolated, we don't have a true sense of community, and we don't have the right support systems, you know, for people to even understand how to go through that, because we're so disconnected from our body, you know, we're so disconnected from the symptoms and the pain that we're experiencing on a regular basis, that it just continuously gets kind of ignored and stuffed down. And I kind of look at it as that these things have always been speaking to us, right? There's always a sense of communication that happens, and it doesn't start with you have cancer, or, you know, you're having problem breathing, or you have extreme skin rashes and issues. It starts with like those little whispers, right? It starts with, oh, like I ate something and I'm getting a little bit bloated, or, oh, like my neck's always like kind of like tight at that spot, or it just feels like, oh, I'm just noticed like I'm waking up feeling a little bit exhausted. But we continue to kind of just push and push and push and push. And it comes to that point where these moments, they shake us up to kind of teach us like a massive lesson, to be like, look, I've been kind of poking at you for a little time right now. You know, we started speaking, now we're screaming, and now we're literally like knocking your front door and shaking everything up. And then that's kind of where like these dark nights of the souls kind of like happen, you know, these type of moments. So I think there's like that one perspective, and then I also know as well, it's like, there's also our soul journey, you know, I feel like our spirits are sometimes just meant to play out these specific circumstances and situations, because that's what we're meant to do. And that's how we're meant to learn, you know, to evolve and grow and maybe learn a little bit better in this time around, you know, in this lifetime, and to do it in a different way as well too. So that's maybe a couple of perspectives that I share based on your question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for that. I like, one of the things you brought up was community, and I'm definitely a huge believer, especially over the last few years, this belief has really become further and further ingrained in me. And the belief is that community is super important. It's so vital for our well-being, and not just the well-being of us as individuals, but also us as groups of humans, as the collective of humanity, and by extension, all of the ecosystems that we interact with, and, you know, planet Earth. Community is such a it's important. It's beautiful. It's rewarding. And it's where we can actually, I think, in my opinion, of course, actualize ourselves in the most effective way. Because there's so much that community offers. And I think that part of why I believe in the power of storytelling and sharing our experiences is because for a lot of people, myself included, in many periods of my life, we tend to feel isolated because we think that our experiences are just like personal to us. We're not quick to assume that other people have similar experiences. And when we have experiences, whether it's some sort of suffering or doubt or insecurities, or even like the rewarding kind and joy and laughter, like there's this, and I don't know why this is the case. Maybe it's just kind of like a product of the way history got, the way history has happened. But there's this sense of assuming that other people are not experiencing similar things. And when we share stories and we share ourselves, like that, just that, just creating that space to be seen and be heard and to hear and see other people can, I think, can have a profound change in an impact on our perspective, because now we become aware that our experiences are not necessarily personal to us. And, you know, and that, you know, opens up to the door to changing the perspective that the universe or life is out to get us in some way. Because that's what it can feel like, I imagine, if you know, get diagnosed with some sort of disease and all of these things are happening, you're a lot more likely to hold on to a perspective that it you know, life is just against you. It's just working against you. And it's not working with you. Whereas if we talk about these things and actually open ourselves up to community and engage with community, interact with it, connect with it, we start to realize that those things are actually not personal. And these are experiences that we share, and we can help each other move through them and process them. We don't have to do the work alone. So one of the things I thought about while you were talking was, for example, what I notice is often the case is, well, not necessarily often, but what I notice it happens sometimes is when people start to look to other people that are, for example, let's take you, for example, you've had this incredible journey of working through things, really changing your lifestyle, your perspective, really moving in this very healthy, holistic direction in your life. And through that process, when someone else is looking at you from the outside, there's this potential to assume that you now no longer experience challenges in your life. You've now sort of perfected the art of life, and you are now immune to all those experiences. And just this assumption alone can make people feel like they can't relate to you. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So I guess I want to open up for a moment. Let's see, like, in your experience, in your journey, do you still continue to have challenges? Do you still feel like, you know, you run into obstacles? Or is your life now like a very perfect, you know, picture perfect world where you no longer deal with anything that's in any way difficult?
Yeah, no, and that's a great question, actually. You know, the first thing that I think about as you've been as you asked that question was just the way I felt like I've just been connecting with people a lot more is really sharing from a place of vulnerability these days, and not being afraid to share like my past story of what I've gone through, but also share the current experiences and challenges that I'm going through right now. Because by no means am I any place of being perfect or have found it or have made it, or you know what I mean? Or I'm like the perfect reflection for, hey, like this is the ideal way of doing things. You know, for me, it's just like the challenges and obstacles are constantly arising. I think just as we were mentioning before, like as you kind of, I find as you reach certain places of your growth and evolution, life needs to kind of shake you up a little bit. Life needs to kind of throw you a curve ball, and you need to kind of go through, you know, these massive, kind of turbulent times in your life, whether it be, you know, disconnection with your relationships, going through like a massive like injury, or having maybe like a job or something that just completely like gets pulled away from you. Like, I'm constantly still going through these challenges on regular time, but I find like the only difference around this time is that because of the skills that I've learned from the past, you know, from my own personal experiences, from the mentorship and the guidance, and, you know, from having, you know, tribe and elders around me, that I'm able to not go, like you mentioned, I'm not going through these challenges on my own anymore, you know? And now that's the different part where, like, yeah, you know, at times I could go to that place where I feel like I'm alone. I feel like I'm in my poor me, sad world type of story mentality when things are really hitting the fan, because it's like a total denial of the present moment that, like, I'm not wanting to go through these experiences. But, you know, I try to think about like the hero's journey. Like, we go through the different phases of that, through different stages of our life in our maturation process. And, I almost look at it as like our initiations. We have like our rites of passage, mm-hmm. You know, it's usually given to us, and, you know, we don't really go through those anymore these days, unless we're like living in older like tribal settings, or we're actually putting ourselves through those types of experiences. But I feel like as I've kind of gone through like different levels of my life, whether it be like going through like a business challenge, whether going through like a different physical injury, you know, it's not all glorious. It's not all roses and rainbows, right? I was like in Costa Rica, like living there for like 6 months during the whole, you know, COVID situation. And it's just like, yeah, beautiful. From the outside, it looks like I'm in the jungle and it's just like all perfect. And, you know, yeah, Pura Vida life, and, you know, eating organic fruits and all that other stuff. But like, I sprained my knee down there in Costa Rica harvesting bamboo, and like I literally couldn't walk for like a month and a half, 2 months, and was like experiencing like excruciating pain. And that also triggered a lot of like old feelings, in a sense of like when I was feeling a lot of physical discomfort with the times of like fibromyalgia. And then like I could see like old thought patterns and things start to arise around like the insecurities about myself. But, you know, from that, I was like, oh, I was able to start to recognize those patterns. I was able to see them a lot more clearly. You know, I was able to not have the same type of stronghold and reactions that would pretty much completely like take me out and take me away from like welcoming and embracing that opportunity for growth and learning. You know, but through that, it was a beautiful process. You know, I would never want to manifest the lesson that way again. You know? Right. But it was necessary, you know, and through that, it showed a lot around like, hey, I was like living in community at the time, and it taught me how to improve my communication. It showed me those aspects where I deny myself of actually asking for help, because I can, at times I'm super stubborn, and I'm always trying to do things on my own, and I can see, you know, like those old parts come at, and it's just like, it doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter if we're 30 or we're 40. You know, just because we're older, it doesn't mean like we're wiser, right? It doesn't mean that we're instantly, you know, we have it all. I feel like we're always kind of reawakening a lot of old challenges and burdens at times, but we just find ways to navigate through them a lot more easier and swiftly, hopefully, right? So yeah, hell no, ain't no perfect. And life is not always sunshines and rainbows. Even as a health coach, you know, I have my days where I'm fatigued and I'm tired. What's the difference during those days? I'm like, oh, okay, I recognize this. Maybe I would have pushed myself before. Nope, I'm just going to not do anything right now. And I'm just going to take a nap. And I'm going to be totally cool with that and nap like a king, you know, and without the guilt, without the judgment, right? So I feel like it's just, you know, we learn how to navigate through our challenges a little bit better, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think that, like, in my perspective, I picture, you know, the sort of linear timeline of our lives from the day we're born to the, you know, the last day that we're in this human body. It seems to me that it's possible that there are specific sort of patterns that play out throughout the course of our lives. And they manifest in different ways, and they can be triggered by different things, or and whether they are, you know, like positive patterns or negative patterns, however we want to label them or relate to them. And the difference, what actually changes, because the patterns don't change, and nor does the sort of experience of life in general, but what changes is the way in which we relate to things, our perspective, our approach to things, and our sort of our ability to recognize these patterns in our lives and to recognize ourselves and then deal with it. And like you said, process them differently. And that's kind of what I'm finding is the profound change that I've noticed in my life is that I'm now able to process things differently and relate to life differently and various things. Like, for example, if we take the example of asking for help, that's definitely, I mean, I'm with you, and I'm sure you know, we're part of a majority, maybe. I don't know, but there's quite a group of people out there who, you know, have found this challenging at one point or another in their lives. And if we look at this example, I know that for me, this may or may not always continue to be a challenge for me. But what is different and what will continue hopefully to change throughout the course of my life is that I will improve in this area. I will get better at asking for help. I will get better at, you know, not judging myself. I will get better at all these things that I know starting off maybe like a decade ago, I was doing things very differently. Mm-hmm. But it's the same sort of challenges that can present themselves in one way or another.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like there's common themes, you know, that we're playing out. And obviously, I think not obviously, but when we are able to go do a lot of the deeper looking, you know, a lot of the things have really been stemmed with our childhood, in our upbringing, in our roots, you know, really starting over there, right? And in the different stages of our growth and development. And then obviously then looking back to the times when it goes to like the very traumatic moments where there was hardships in relationships or things like injuries, for example, or, you know, massive life events or losing a loved one. You know, these are types of moments where based on those moments, it's like, what was the perspective that we had on that? Because usually the things that we were looking and trying to heal, it was very, it's usually a one-sided perspective. We didn't see the blessings, or we didn't see the good that was coming out of it. And we've kind of only held on to the pain and the challenge of those stories. But when we're able to identify those and starting to see them play out, right, that's where we're like, okay, cool. It's like, there it is. There's the pain teacher. It's like, okay, thank you. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being here and reminding me, you know, of what I can cultivate, or, you know, how I don't have to show up, right? But typically we just run away from those things because sometimes they're too intense to feel, or, you know, it's just, we're so caught up in the reactions and the, you know, the flow of our emotions with the current circumstance that we're facing that we really can't see the bigger picture behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There's a, thank you. I was smiling when you started saying thank you. Thank you to the pain teacher, the lesson. That's really beautiful. There's one thing that I think I've learned in my life has been helpful for me is in recognizing that, you know, throughout that development as children, you know, we didn't know any better. Well, we didn't necessarily know that, you know, specific experiences, whether they were shocking, like, for example, if you put your finger to a stove, you know, and you burn yourself, we didn't know that that would occur. We didn't know that there was going to be like that shock experience following that. We didn't know there was going to be reactions. We just didn't know. And so it's okay. I found it's important to look at that and be kind and gentle and supportive towards that, you know, past selves, that inner child that just didn't know any better. And so that for me has allowed me to let go of the sort of guilt or shame around various events in my life where I once, you know, took it on like it was, you know, it was my fault. You know, it was my responsibility. I should have known better, you know, I should have done better, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I was actually listening to and reading the book by Bill Plockton recently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's speaking about the different stages of our evolution. And when we go through, especially in those younger phases where, like, for me, I noticed a lot of like where a lot of my deep rooted like trauma and challenges were around. Like, there is that place where when you are completely reliant of your well-being and your nourishment and how you're going to navigate your life is completely dependent on the ones who are taking care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if you weren't really raised in the hands of love, and there was, you know, a lot of trauma with regards to the father and the mother figure in those earlier stages, and we never come to actually heal and grow out of those stages of our development, those are the things that we continue to take on. So, you know, the essence of specific figures that start to show up in our life, whether it be like an overly dominating man in a sense, you know, because of how your father treated you, may show up in a woman as well too, right? It may show up in like a partner that you manifest or a boss that shows up. And it's almost like the same lens that we kind of, you start to see a particular being of that type of nature seems to kind of have those reactions when you're around them, whether mm-hmm. it be a fear or inability to speak your truth in that moment, or anger and aggression, or also how we treat others, right? Because it's like, oh, like this is how I'm supposed to relate to mommy and daddy, and we're kind of replaying these mommy and daddy figures like right now, you know, where it's just like, oh, I've like you know, I'm supposed to be a good girl, bad girl. And I think that's really a reflection of like what's really going on right now in our society. You know, there's a lot of these like unhealed like child wounds that are continue playing out and are looking for a you know, an authority figure, which is showing up, whether it be a teacher or the government, and like that they're going to take care of me. And if I don't follow the rules, then I'm bad, you know, or if I go against it, I'm not a good boy or a good girl. And, you know, we play safe. We play in a way that keeps us closed and where we don't express ourselves, right? Because maybe we were told that, you know, you weren't good enough, or what you want to do is stupid and it's not, you know, you're not worthy of doing that because that's not a real career path, or, you know, only, you know, like these, all these things that we've kind of continued to held on. This is the stop. These are the things that I feel that are really stopping us from being able to actually be like free, to be sovereign, to be able to make bolder choices and to really follow like our heart's calling and that wisdom to be able to, you know, to make choices that are beyond like what's been told to us, or the society we've been indoctrinated in, or the beliefs people have told us. And we take all these things on and make them as true. And we're wondering why, like, we feel so unhappy with ourselves or unfulfilled and unexpressed. Like a lot of it comes into those earlier stages of development. Right. And I think it goes back again to as well, if we were in a society, you know, or in a tribal setting where we were able to actually have the support in those areas, and to have, you know, the hands of a wise elder and a grandmother or grandfather to help, you know, heal us through that process, and to spend time with men, you know, and have those bonds, or, you know, to spend time with women and be related to all different types of people, it would totally be a different situation, right? But now, you know, we're here in these families where it's just all that you know is like of what's been told by you in these what's the word that I'm looking for again, and when it's just your family that you're born and raised in.
It's just your family, like
Well, the term's not important, but I think you get the what I'm trying to share is just like when you're only raised in that, and that's all that you know that you've been told, like usually these are the filters that we're pretty much navigating our world from, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's that healing been like for you? Like what are some of the ways that you've been able to heal those childhood wounds?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. For me, I think one of the biggest things for me has been a lot of time in deep self-reflection. Mm-hmm. You know, journaling's a really powerful process for me, where I'm able to just really express those feelings that I'm going through. another big thing for me as well too has been around learning how to process it as well too from a psychosomatic standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like a lot of the traumas and a lot of the challenges that we experience and these reactions, they're literally stored into our nervous system. They're stored into our musculature, and it creates a lot of the pain body for me in particularly, and how it shows up. So learning how to, you know, shake these things out, learning how to breathe through them, learning how to, you know, really use like the healing arts like dance and song and music and drumming to be able to just like really feel into these sensations, into these challenges, to be able to actually like see them and allow them to come through without the judgment in a sense, and then be able to transcend them with my own conscious thought and choices for the vision of who I do want to step into and what I do want to create. And I think the also big part definitely has to be with mentorship and guidance, hands down. I've just been fortunate enough where in the past like 6 years, you know, I've been supported by a really, really strong tribe of people, and also like some elders who are pretty much, you know, more than double my age at times, who I can actually turn to and seek counsel about some of these challenges that I've gone through. So, you know, that's been pretty powerful for me having that tribe, and like even like with the men's groups that I'm involved in as well too. You know, being with brothers for me has been like so nourishing, supportive, and healing, because you know the masculine nature is it's own kind of special entity in a sense, you know, and to have brothers who've also gone through similar challenges and situations where I can feel safe, be seen, heard, and supported was so healing for my journey, because a lot of the, you know, challenges and traumas that I experienced was related around like the male figure and the father archetype. So to have, you know, healthy, you know, masculine tribe and role models around me who can actually support me has been massive. And, you know, there's a couple other things through that as well, which I would share would probably be like a lot of the internal arts practices like Qigong, you know, has been huge, being able to be present with my body and to feel things from a very calm and peaceful way. I've had probably some of my most psychedelic and profound moments literally without any medicines or anything, just being in that place where I'm just kind of in that flow where like I can see and observe the thoughts and feel the sensations and those challenges that do arise, but I'm able to actually like move them out of my system. I'm able to not be in a place of reaction because I'm cultivating an inner awareness within myself and creating safety within my body. And also plant medicines have been quite powerful at times as well too, you know, for having some pretty big breakthroughs whenever I've felt the call to go into a deeper journey, which have revealed some of those wounds that for me seemed like they were so much more deeper beyond this lifetime, you know. Mm-hmm. when I've gone through some of these things to actually see some of the pain and the trauma that's happened from a really you know, generational standpoint, like so much more beyond whether it be my father or my mother, and start to realize that, you know, it really opened up compassion and empathy on a greater level, because I figure, you know, anyone who's being able to show up in a specific way where there's harm and anger and aggression towards, you know, someone who's innocent and can do that quite often and regularly, you know, must have also been raised under the wings and gone through the experiences, so much pain, challenge, and turmoil for them to be able to want to repeat those cycles as well. So, you know, yeah, I think it's a couple of those things I would say are probably some of the biggest things that really helped me work through the healing process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm sure that's some of that or all of that will resonate with some people listening. But you brought up a lot of really great things that I'd love to touch on, but there are so many great things. One of the things, and this is one of the last things you said about, you know, people who can be in that sort of aggressive, harmful way towards innocence or pure innocence must have, you know, experienced that in some way. And I think that that's a very beautiful thing to recognize, that when we are the, like, when we are either intentionally or unintentionally, and I personally believe that it is all unintentional for the most part, when we are harming something that we see as pure innocence, what we're really doing is we're in some way, shape, or form recreating the dynamic that took place when we felt we experienced that as pure innocence. So it's really like recreating the experiences and circumstances that we experienced when we felt we were pure innocence, and someone else treated us that way or you know, behaved that way towards us. And now we recreate it as a way of either understanding why it happened to us in the first place, or trying to undo it, or trying to avoid facing that original pain or hurt that occurred by projecting it out onto somebody else. And I think that's sort of like, in my perspective, it's at the root of why we go about hurting or doing things that are hurtful or harmful. It's not because we want to hurt or harm others. It's because we haven't taken the time to recognize and process the moments in which we felt hurt ourselves. And because we haven't processed our own hurt, and we're not doing that actively either because we're too scared, we don't feel equipped to do it, or we don't feel like there's a strong support system around us, or we just don't know how, we're recreating those moments in order to try and deal with that and process that. And unfortunately, what we end up doing is we end up extending that cycle to the people that we are now placing in those dynamics and circumstances. And now those people have to go on and process that themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I feel we end up with a lot of the intergenerational traumas. It continues to be passed on simply because, and not all of it, some gets passed on, some doesn't. The stuff that does get passed on, I think, gets passed on because they're just the processing and recognition and awareness and the sort of healing and transformation of that, or transmuting it into something else, didn't occur. And that's why it's now just being handed over to the next person in line. That was one of the things that came up. There was something else that came up, but I mean, there were so many things you said that were just so beautiful to talk about. So many things. I'm having trouble going back and recalling all of the beautiful things. What's something that you've been thinking about lately? What's something that's kind of been on your mind lately?
You know, I think for me, I think the theme that keeps coming up, and it's probably because it's the conversations that I keep having right now, these days, especially in supporting a lot of my different clients who have been going through a lot of different health issues, and also even starting my own personal podcast and speaking a lot with other practitioners and sharing their kind of insights. What's kind of, you know, the heart song for me is really just a call and invitation for the kind of, like, I guess with the theme that we're talking about in a sense, is really kind of coming in towards our healing through our pain, through our traumas, and through our wounds. And yeah, the thing that comes to me the most is really, really seeing them as like the greatest gifts, you know, really seeing them as the most powerful opportunities that we have for our highest growth and evolution personally, and also for the collective and for humanity. Because if we were actually starting to listen more often, you know, if we were able to actually get more in tune with our body, if we were able to learn to create times of silence, if we were able to not get so caught up in the busyness of life and the modern crutches that have pretty much, you know, taken us away from our true nature and from living a more natural and harmonious life, we wouldn't be going through you know, the kind of the collective chaos that we're experiencing right now. And I see that's why, if we can kind of embrace this situation in this moment right now, where, you know, if you think about what this whole situation has caused, it's caused a massive pause with everything. I feel like it's really got people to be so much more self-reflective about every aspect of their life, because if we've been so caught up in the wheel, in a sense, you know, of just going through the motions, living our 9-to-5 lives, or if we've pretty much even neglected our loved ones and haven't been spending as much time because of the busyness that we've been having, or if we've noticed that some of our comforts and the things that we're used to having, things like being able to have access to like going to restaurants or buying what we need and all these other things, they all kind of just been swept away. There's so many people who have like lost their jobs, or there's so many people that have just had a massive shift in their life circumstances, that I feel there's a confrontation that we've been finally like needed to have, you know, that we've been neglecting for like a really long time. And I really see this as just like, if there's a gift that we can take amongst like the storm right now, is to fully like be truly aligned with what's most important to us. Mm-hmm. You know, and if in the time where we're like in the greatest separation as humanity, where, you know, there's social distancing, right, which I feel like it should be more like physical distancing, if we're going to use you know, maybe a more correct term to what they're trying to share with others, but it's a time we actually be more socially connected. Mm-hmm. And it's a time where there's massive separation, where we need to actually be more connected with our loved ones, where we realize the importance of our family and our loved ones. In the times where we've been neglecting our own physical body and feeling the pain and the stressors accumulate through the discomfort that we feel, you know, and the turbulence that we're experiencing in our everyday life, it's an opportunity to actually look closer and to actually listen and build a healthy relationship with our own hearts, with our own bodies, and with our own minds, in a place where everything's so artificially through a screen and through man-created, you know, cities and these metropolises that are pretty much unnatural. You know, and we see, you know, the planet in a sense has healed itself in certain ways. It's a time for us to breathe more. It's a time for us to be so much more connected to nature, and to really learn from those natural rhythms, and to not be always on the push and on the edge of trying to make it or trying to cultivate more, and actually being content with what we already have, and actually investing our time and energy with what actually means the most to us and what's most life-bearing and happy-making. So, you know, for me, like, I look at this as like, you know, let's dust the dirt off our shoulders for what 2020 was. Mm-hmm. Really, you know what I mean? And really look at this as, you know, a massive shakeup and awakening, to really come together as like one eternal earth family and tribe, and to actually like do this in true community as you know, like one earth family who's coming here to like truly like heal the planet, and to stop creating like the divides right now. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's division, disconnection, and it's like, no, like let's be open to other people's perspective. Let's be willing to have more you know, even conversations that are a little bit like this uncomfortable, so that way we can actually be more open to learning and listening from one another. You know, let's actually like spend time getting influence that's bombarded in through the screens, and actually like listen to ourselves, right? Listen to the magic that's there, that's waiting in the silence, you know, and through that, to truly like take a stand and truly reclaim like, which is our birthright for all of us. First of all, is to be like whole. You know, I think that's one thing that our bodies are always trying to do, is to always come back into a place of homeostasis, is to return into balance, and to return back into harmony, right? We're a part of nature. That's what nature is always trying to do. It's never anxious. It's never in a rush. It's never trying to get ahead. So it's like we can learn from that wisdom, which has been there from ages and eons ago, and really come back into a way where we can evolve together as a modern world, not knowing it's obviously going to be exactly like the way it was before, but it's to recreate that together to see how that looks like with the merging of the technology. And also, like I said, like the ancestral wisdom, like that's really the direction that we need to go to. And I feel like if we can become more, you know, self-sustainable, and if we can really become self-empowered and really do things that that truly fill our cup, then I feel that's actually the greatest way we can actually contribute to the healing of this planet. And if we have a bunch of individuals who are really willing to take a stand to like really sing out their heart songs and like beat their drum and do it like unwillingly and unrelentlessly, regardless of what's being told around them, and truly feel like the freedom and the soul just lighting up, that's where the progress is going to happen. And that shift may be so subtle, I think, you know, because we'll maybe just being the reflection for our family and our friends and our loved ones. But for me, if we think that we're just like this flesh suit and that's all that we're meant to do on this life path, you know, and I think realize right now, like every prayer, every loving intention, everything that's more coherent and in a place of homeostasis and balance is also being emanated on a global level. And, you know, that's my hope, you know, my hope and my prayer that I'm really crying out and you know, praying into and beating with my drum and you know, praying out to each and every single day, is that, you know, that we really do come together and we actually learn how to like love and care for ourselves and stop all this division and know that like we're all related. We're truly family, because we all bleed blood, you know.
Yeah.
No one is invincible. Like I poke you with a knife, you bleed, I bleed as well too. No one's invincible. And if we can learn to just like really see that and see each other and celebrate the differences and learn to actually integrate those differences together, then I think there's hope for us. And I can see that, you know, at least in the way I choose to see this right now, because I know it's so easy to be caught up in the density of what's happening and the constant influx of the news and the ever constant change, that there's so much uncertainty on the outside. But if there's one thing that's truly certain and that we can take full responsibility and take a stand for, it really starts with ourselves, you know? So that's what I've been feeling.
Yeah. Preach, brother. That was beautiful. Thank you. That was so good. So good. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing all of that. Wow. I'm just going to take a moment to feel gratitude. Yeah, that was truly, truly beautiful, brother. That was wonderful. Wonderful reminder. What I thought about as you were speaking is, you know, I do hold a pretty similar perspective, if not the exact same one. But I, like one of the things I thought about was, for me, it seems to boil down to choosing between love and fear, and maybe not even love, maybe it's just fear and something else. But I find that a good question to continue to ask ourselves through this period, as I do, you know, agree with you. I think that there's a beautiful opportunity here now, and there has been in throughout 2020 and just the last little while, for increasing that awareness and becoming more aware, shedding a light on the things that matter to us, the things that we love, the things that we really want for ourselves and for our community. It is a beautiful opportunity, and I definitely recognize that. And I think, going back to what I was saying earlier, a good question to ask through this process, as I found it to be, is asking whether or not a particular perspective or a decision or an action that we're taking, or, you know, something that we're thinking about or pondering, is it informed by fear? Is it an extension of, you know, we're either afraid that we won't be good enough, or we're afraid that it won't work out, we're afraid of failure, we're afraid the world won't accept us, we're afraid, you know, we'll get hurt, we're afraid, whatever it is that we're afraid of in any given moment, where we're presented with a choice or presented with you know, an opportunity to either act on something or to express something or to think about something or to have a conversation or interact, even if you're, you know, like in the grocery store or you're on social media or whatever it is. Each of those moments is an opportunity to really evaluate whether or not what we're about to do or say or think is coming from a place within ourselves where we are afraid, and we're doing it to, you know, we're doing it to kind of like either hide from that fear or avoid that fear or avoid the outcome that we're afraid of. And when we're looking at that and asking ourselves this question, then we can actually see whether or not we're acting out of love or fear. And the acting out of love is that's where the opportunity lies of really aligning ourselves and being brave enough, because that's kind of I find is key is we've got to choose to be courageous and brave enough to choose the loving thing, to choose to act on the things that we love, whether that's, you know, living in harmony with our loved ones or living in harmony with, you know, the ecosystem around us, nature around us, whether that's, you know, dancing or singing or beating a drum because that's what we love to do, whether that's going for a walk or taking that nap or you know, drinking a nice cup of tea or coffee, whatever it is that we love and we love from a place of enjoyment and pleasure and joy and that pure innocence, those are the opportunities and the possibilities that create circumstances for more and more of those seeds to be planted and nourished. Whereas when we're acting on not the things that we love and that we truly genuinely want because we're afraid, whatever we're afraid of, which is generally, I think, we're afraid that we won't get the things that we love or we can't have the things that we love. We're afraid that just will be taken away or it just won't happen. When we're afraid and we're acting on it, I think that's how we continue to create these circumstances that make it all the more difficult and challenging to mm-hmm. like look back and reflect on what we actually love. And this is, I definitely echo what you're saying. This is such a beautiful opportunity, the current circumstances that we're experiencing as a collective, to pause and look at the things that we do love, look at the things that bring us joy, look at the really just, you know, get an inventory list going of like, these are all the things that, you know, really, really excite me, make me feel whole and connected. And you know, I see beauty in this. I feel loved in this. I feel community in this. All of these things that now we... Because of all of these lockdowns and these restrictions on what used to be sort of routine and habit in our lives, we've got a lot more space and room to look at that list and to come up with that list. And that truly is a beautiful opportunity. I'm so glad you shared that in such a beautiful way, because I agree with you and it's beautiful. And I hope that, you know, more people listening either to your podcast or this podcast, I hope that this serves as a reminder that there is a beautiful opportunity here to just reconnect with love within ourselves for the people around us, for the things that we enjoy. And, you know, I hope that sense of camaraderie serves to support us in being brave enough and courageous enough to really live according to that and to let go of to just release the things that scare us.
Mm-hmm. Aho, sister.
Yeah. So beautiful. Thank you for such a beautiful conversation.
You're most welcome. Thank you for allowing me and giving me the space to be able to share my heart song.
Yeah, my pleasure. Keep beating that drum, brother.
I will, sister.
And that was another episode of the Glove Podcast. That was an intuitive session with the charming artist, aka Angelito Marcos. That was so beautiful. Do check him out. I mean, his work is wonderful, and there's so much passion and love there, as you probably heard in that last bit of the episode. That was truly felt. It almost felt like a prayer to me, and it was really cool to have shared in that space with him, and it was really cool that he shared that with us all. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope this episode benefited you. If you have any feedback, if you want to continue this conversation on any of the topics we touched on, please do feel free to reach out to either myself or the charming artist. Thank you. I hope this episode benefits you, and we'll probably see you in the new year. Ciao.